It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to come and study the Word of God together. And we're in the book of John, John chapter 12. I'd like for you to open your Bibles up to John chapter 12 and begin with the 12th verse. While you're doing that, while you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Again, I hope that that has given you enough time now to open your Bibles. John chapter 12, verse 12. John chapter 12, verse 12, and we'll begin reading. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And the people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tells Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of his word. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. We praise you for your word. Help clearly to direct us that we may follow you so closely. We'll know exactly what we're to do, to say, where we're to be, everything, Lord, as we are coming up into the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. As many call this, Father, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and we'll be speaking about that. Father, it wasn't much of a triumphal entry when he comes to be crucified. Your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, the Savior of the world. Father, please that you will direct our hearts, keep our minds clearly directed right upon you, upon what salvation should mean to each and every soul. Father, help us to understand salvation today. Help us to understand what we're to be doing for you. Now please guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin with the 12th verse, and we have found in previous verses as we've been studying this word that the Jews, they not only wanted to put the Lord Jesus to death, but they also desired to put Lazarus to death because he was a threat. He was the evidence of the resurrection. We know, as we've studied it in the past here, that Martha worked, Mary worshipped, and Lazarus was the witness. Well, they needed to get rid of that testimony. They need to get rid of that witness. Oh, that our witness would be so strong to this world that they would want to rid this world of us, because you see, light and darkness, they can't be together. And that's exactly what following after the Lord Jesus, the example that Lazarus has here as he was raised from the dead, being so in the bright light, in the light of the Lord Jesus. And of course you have then the darkness that the world has and produces, and it's the only thing the world can have is darkness. Well, they just don't go together. So not only did they hate and despise the Lord Jesus because of the light that was shining through him and of him, but also then as they would see the Lord Jesus in Lazarus, they hated him as well. So they desired to get rid of him. And we know that according to the 10th verse, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They hated that. They despised that, anyone that would follow. And my request and my ask you today that you come to Jesus. Please, that you don't follow after the religious rulers and leaders of the day, but you follow after the Lord Jesus and you listen to him ever so carefully. As we come to the beginning of this section of Scripture here, we know that on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. As we begin now and look at these verses of Scripture, we have that the Lord Jesus fulfills the Word of God in every part. Part of the law, every part of his Word is completely filled by the Lord Jesus. Some people call this a triumphal entry. First and only public time, public demonstration that the Lord Jesus will have is right here as he enters into Jerusalem. But it's not quite what we think of being a triumphal entry. You know, you think of a triumphal entry would be a time when a king or a soldier of some sort, a commander of an army, as he would defeat an enemy and come back to his home, they would give him a parade. You think of the ticker tape parade that they have for celebrities and for teams would win the football games, the finals with the basketball games, as people would come from the from their awards with the Olympics, things of that sort. There's so many things that we do award our athletes and people like that, and we hold them in such a high esteem, and we put on such a big banquet and big parade, and they come into town, and everybody acknowledges it, and everybody praises them, and all those things are going on. Well, we have the praise here, but usually when they come into town in that manner, why, at the end of the parade, you know, they're receiving some kind of recognition. When the Lord Jesus, when he came to town, the only thing he was going to find was a cross, because the Lord Jesus was going to die on the cross as he enters into Jerusalem. And so to call it his triumphal entry, I think I would like to stay with a verse of Scripture that is a little closer to his triumphal entry, and that is back in Revelation chapter 19, because this is what I call his triumphal entry. Yes, Jesus come in and he died on that cross for me that I might live, but it was a very humble entry. People were crying out Hosanna to him. But please, that you, as we read through these verses of Scripture very carefully, understand he's coming to die. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 15. I would like to read those for you today, because this will be his triumphal entry. Revelation chapter 19, beginning to read with verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was dipped with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I believe that when he comes, he's going to come and put an end to the battle of Armageddon, and he'll usher in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus himself. It's going to be a triumphal entry. Can you imagine that? I saw in heaven opened, John tells us, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, upon a white horse, and he that sat upon that horse was called Faithful and True and Righteous, and he doth judge and make war. Oh, what a beautiful picture we have. And as we have jumped down to verse 14 there, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I'm going to be with him, because I have trusted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a time that will definitely be a triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus as he comes in. Oh, it's going to be wonderful the day that we come down with the Lord Jesus to put an end to all the blood and the bloodshed and the wars and everything that's going on as the Antichrist through the tribulation period will have his rule and reign. But we know the Lord Jesus will come and put an end to that. We know that as we read these verses of Scripture, as he comes into Jerusalem, and they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 is what he is quoting. He rides into Jerusalem to fulfill the Word of God. He rides into Jerusalem to fulfill the will of God. Jesus presents himself publicly to Jerusalem as the Messiah, as he comes in this public entrance. If you would like to call it a triumphal entry, yes, he's going to get victory over sin for us and finish what was spoken into place before the beginning of time, salvation of our souls. He was going to put an end to that, and he was entering into Jerusalem for that purpose. And yes, to take my sin away is a tremendous triumph, a tremendous victory. We should always remember to praise the Lord. And if you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ, please today that you confess him as your Savior and trust in him. As he entered into Jerusalem. Again, Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and they laid him across. You know, there are three different groups of people here that are watching him coming in and or participating in his entry. We have the first group you'll find in John chapter 12, verse 12 and verse 18. I'll read those two verses for you. Verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, remember it's the Passover, and they're to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So there were many people that have traveled great distances beyond the land of Judah to come into Jerusalem to worship. And so we have the visitors, and 18 confirms that too. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. See, they hadn't really experienced it. So I believe that this is to some of the group that had traveled in. They'd heard about the Lord Jesus, but they had not witnessed what had taken place. And so that's one group. The second group you can find in the 17th verse, John 12:17, and the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. And so we have those local people that lived right there that did witness the raising from the dead of Lazarus and the power of God. So we have those that have heard about it and come and are a part of this parade. And then we have the folks now that have witnessed the actual resurrection of Lazarus, and so they are present. And then the third, and we'll find this to be the religious rulers and leaders. You think that they would be there in praise and honor first of all, and be leading the parade in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, because they would know all about it. They've got the books, they've got everything to know that this is the Messiah. And the date was set, the time's right, everything is correct, but they didn't know it. And they find that the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world's gone after him." The Pharisees want to do nothing but put him to death. And so we find here we have the religious leaders, we have the local people, and then we have the travelers that have come in for the Feast of the Passover. And basically, all these people are Jews. There's some Greeks. We know as we get on into the 20th verse that there are Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And so they're a part as well. And as we look to the to not only some of them proselytes, some of them you could have a Jewish mother, a Greek father. We have that as we look through the scripture, and so. But it does mention very clearly that the Greeks among them came up to worship at the feast as well, at verse 20. So we have others, but right now we're looking at all these folks, these three Greek groups, basically those that come to the Passover for the feast, and they'd heard about Jesus, and they wanted to see him, and they were a part of this. Then we have the local people that witnessed the raising of Lazarus, and then we have the Pharisees, the religious leaders that are out to kill the Lord Jesus, and yet they're still part of this crowd. And so we have them, they have taken the, as he enters into Jerusalem, we've looked at the crowd now, we have looked to see concerning the triumphal entry, and we went back into Revelation when the second coming of the Lord Jesus will be here, and when that comes, that'll be a glorious day, and we will all have been raptured and being in the presence of God in heaven for 7 years prior to the time of coming back with the Lord Jesus that we just read about in Revelation chapter 19. And again, we looked at the groups that are present. Now we look a little bit as he's coming in. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And so Jesus, in his coming to Jerusalem, he is finishing what was said back in John chapter 1, verse 49. And if you'd like to turn back to John chapter 1, as we turn our Bibles, John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." So it was said at the beginning of his public ministry, as he began to walk and proclaim more openly than from before, and about 3 years is how long that his ministry lasted in teaching his disciples and healing and being among the people. But Nathanael here said again, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And so, as the King of Israel was entering into Jerusalem, we find many things happening. First of all, the branches of palm trees. This symbolizes the peace and the victory that is to come. Victory over sin. They wanted a physical peace, the people. They wanted physical peace. They wanted the rule of Rome to end, and they wanted a king to be raised up as they knew would come, and they wanted him to sit upon the throne and to rule and to reign with a rod of iron, as we have spoken about. And yes, that time will come, but not until the church is raptured, not until the 7-year tribulation following the rapture of the church is completed, then the second coming of the Lord Jesus, then he'll come, then he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron upon this earth. But as these branches of palm trees symbolizing peace and victory, that's what it meant. And if we look back to Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, we look at verse 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Oh, what a beautiful verse of Scripture to acknowledge that, yes, those palm leaves and the palm branches, as they were laid under him as they came in, as he rode on this donkey, representing that he is victory, he will bring peace. Jerusalem, the definition of the name of Jerusalem, as we look, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, you'll see in verse 12 there at the end of it. Jerusalem is a city of peace, or a foundation of peace. And so when we look to the name Jerusalem, that's what we should be thinking of, is peace. The Lord Jesus, as he was entering Jerusalem, they laid the palm branches down and the palm leaves down, and it's symbols of peace and victory. So it should be one with the others. Jesus is coming in, there will be peace and there'll be victory in Jerusalem, in the land, and to the nation of Israel. But we found it to be much different than that, because we find that since before this day that the Lord Jesus was entering, and to this day, there has been nothing but wars and rumors of wars, battles and bloodshed that has been carried out in Jerusalem. That is not a city of peace. We can't call it a foundation of peace, because of everything, all the wickedness that it stands for. And the reason is because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the Lamb of God. They acknowledged it, the people, as they laid these palm trees down. Here comes the King. But they wasn't thinking that he was coming to save them from their sin. But the people thought that he was coming to save them from the enemy, from the government, from the Roman rule. And so they were looking forward to that, as these people were crying out in 13th verse. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save now, or oh save. That's what they wanted. They wanted a king. They thought they were getting a king. They thought he was coming. Finally, he was raising himself up to the position, to the proper place, which he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you see, he came this time to save us, to take our sin away, to die upon the cross. And so when they cried out, Hosanna, they were crying out, save us now. And if you'll go with me to Psalms 118, is a verse of Scripture that they were acknowledging and chanting, you might say. And so if you'll look with me at Psalms 118, we'll look at the 25th verse, Psalms 118, verse 25, and it says, Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. That's what the people wanted. That's what the people thought they were getting. They thought they were getting victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, not over their sin. They did not recognize that they were sinners. They recognized that they had rule over them, and they didn't like it, and they was willing to accept this man, Jesus, not realizing that he was God, to save them. And that was their hope. They wanted that hope. And again, Jesus, when he was coming in, the people were rejoicing, crying out, Save me, save me. And again, as I read back in Psalms 118, they were rejoicing. Jesus wasn't rejoicing. Jesus was not singing hallelujah. Jesus knew that the word that Jerusalem meant city of peace, and yet he knew that it was going to be nothing but a city of war. As we look to the Lord Jesus, we don't find him rejoicing. we would find him weeping, because he's coming to save the sin-sick world and that sin-sick city, all the people that lived there, that laid those palm trees down. And I'm sure that the heart of the Lord Jesus was broken because they did not recognize their need of salvation. Yes, they could see how the rulers of Rome were oppressing them and they needed victory, but they did not realize how that sin in our life confines us and defeats us and destroys us, and we're going to die because of it. They could see that happening under Roman rule, but they do not realize what happens to the soul. And so they did not call out unto the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, call out to them to give them peace and victory, because that's the only peace and victory that we can have is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him, to walk after him. Please, as we look through these verses of Scripture, again, we find the people. We find three groups of people: those that are visiting for the Passover, those that are local people that live there, and the religious rulers. And as those people come forth, many of them come out to meet the Lord Jesus, laid these branches of palm trees down as they would come in and to acknowledge, again, peace and victory, thinking that this man, he is king. I am king of Israel, as we read from John chapter 1, verse 49. And as we went back to Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10, that the palms upon the presence of the Lord Jesus, that is laid before him and does give us a picture of peace and victory. Not the way they thought it was going to come. They believed that peace and victory was going to come because he was going to sit on his throne right then and there. He had to come to save us first. He'll return and sit on that throne. And yes, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But will you please trust in him as your Savior? Will you accept him as your Savior? Jesus is entering Jerusalem. If you want to call it the triumphal entry, that's fine. I believe that when he returns again the second time, that will really be his triumphal entry. Here's a very humble entry. And yes, the people acknowledge him, but not because he is coming as the Messiah, but because they want someone to take this rule that Rome has put over them away. Wants the joy of walking freely, and they want the king in that manner. Well, we've got to deal with our sin first before we can do anything else. So today, will you deal with your sin? As Jesus is entering in, will you let him enter into your heart? Or are you going to hold back? And are you going to be one of these passerbys that are just amazed at this miracle that he produced in Lazarus as he raised him from the dead? Are you going to be taken by the miracles, but you're going to miss that Jesus is the one that has given us that miracle, because he is God, and he is the one that can give us life, and he will if you'll just come by faith to him. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And when he was nailed to that cross, and we're going to get to that very shortly, we've even read in verse 24, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." We'll go into that next time we're together. Please, that you don't miss the Lord Jesus Christ and the need that he had to die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for us, took that debt away. Will you please just come to him by faith, trust in him? Just because he died for the whole world doesn't mean that universally then the whole world has now been saved. He has handed it to us by a free gift. And that free gift is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Will you come and confess with a repentant heart Jesus Christ to be your Savior? My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?